Here's Mike McIntosh to begin our study on chapter and verse with this observation.
Maybe today you sit here or you're watching on television or you're watching on the internet or you're listening on the radio and you've already condemned Jesus in your heart. You've blasphemed him. You use Jesus Christ as a swear word. You don't believe in him. You don't believe that he died for you. You don't believe that you can have eternal life, and therefore you've justified why you live the raucous lifestyle you live, the worldly comfortable lifestyle you live, the selfish, self-centered lifestyle you live, is because you've already judged Jesus. You've done exactly what they have done. If I were to say to you, choose this day whom you'll serve. If I were to say to you, Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come to me. He said, I'm not going to go to him. He's not real. I don't believe in him. That's not true. I like what Malcolm and Alwyn said in their song, Fool's Wisdom. He said he found some fool's wisdom in a leatherback book. And when I opened up the pages of the book, what did I find but a black and white portrait of a king who's a friend of mine? And that's who Jesus is. But if you don't give him a chance, you've already condemned him. How foolish for you to pass judgment without really knowing the true story.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Welcome to the Wednesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse, where we're taking part in a survey of the New Testament book of John. This book was written as John plainly declares that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What is truth is the title of our lesson today, so let's turn to chapter 18 of the Gospel of John and join our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the honor of standing in your presence. We thank you, Father, for your great love for each one of us and our families and our friends. And we thank you for your word that you have given to us through the law and the prophets, through the Psalms, through the New Testament epistles that we can learn about you. And we pray as we take communion that your Holy Spirit would work in each of our hearts and souls in a very special way. I pray, Father, you just take the routine of a Sunday morning going to church attitude and just dissolve it in every heart. I pray that everybody could experience your presence and hear your voice, and that you would calm our hearts down before you, Father, and that you'd speak freely to us of your tremendous love. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's go to the 18th chapter of John, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early in the morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against these men?" And they answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." That's what we're doing. Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." And then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" One of the most profound questions throughout all history. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and he said to them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. I was reading through some articles earlier this week, and I came across an illustration that goes along a little bit with this of the Lord. He's just getting ready to go to the cross and die for all of us. And the whole scene of Easter is the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, and his forgiveness for our sins. That he's just such a loving God that he sends his son to die for us. And I'd like to just read this little paragraph to you from Europe. It says, unlike other countries that have a pay-as-you-use toll system on their major roads, Switzerland expects drivers using its auto route system to pay an annual fee of 40 Swiss francs. And when you pay, you get a windshield sticker you display for the rest of the year. Traditionally, the traffic police give motorists the whole month of January to purchase the sticker. There's no penalty for driving without it during that month. It's a month of grace. But when the first days of February come, expect to see the traffic police on the auto route exit ramps checking for cars without the sticker. No more excuses are accepted. No more time is given. The grace period has ended. So I looked at that and I thought, well, isn't that true about each one of us, that he gives us a period of grace where he says, okay, I'm working with you, work with me, and you sense that there's some change in your life, you're not sure what it is, or you're wanting to change and you actually do pray to God and you ask him to change you, and he just wants to change you, he wants to do new things for you. But the grace period, it comes to an end in a sense, and now the judgment period comes, and he's going to deal with the fine that we have. Most of you that are police officers here on patrol, you know that that's probably not the first thing that you're going to do is pull somebody over because they have a expired January sticker. But that doesn't give any one of us the right to drive with an expired sticker on our license plates. Oh, they won't pull me over. They got more important things to do. I've found riding along that many times it's that little sticker that gets a felon arrested. Because if they have any suspicion at all, they look for anything they have a right to stop you for, and they see that sticker is expired or missing or the plate's gone, and it's that little thing. The grace period is over, and then you get stopped, and then it unwinds from there. So Jesus is being arrested, and this is still a grace period. You're being arrested by Jesus being arrested. You're being nailed to the cross by Jesus being nailed to the cross. You are going to experience the death, the burial, and the resurrection. As Paul the Apostle said, he wants to know him and his sufferings. So there comes a time in every Christian life that we have to suffer, if not more than once, many times. But we experience him if we're spiritual, and we seek him during the painful times, and we don't run from him or hide from him. But then there comes that power of his resurrection that we need to be prepared, that we're all going to die, but we need to trust that we made it through sufferings here on earth, and then the power of his resurrection is going to take us out of the grave, that we're not going to worry about it. I liked what Max Lucado said, that Jesus walked into the tomb simply to prove that he could walk out. And you stop and think of that if you're arrested for something, they don't arrest you and put you in a coffin and bury you 6 feet under. The only people that are buried or in a tomb are the people who have died and they're not part of this world anymore. They don't just say, well, we're going to torment you and you're going to be buried. You go into the tomb. It's when you're done. And they figured Jesus was done. And the cool thing was he wasn't done. And he came back out. And because he came back out, you're never going in. That's his grace for you, that he's given you. So when you look at this situation here, these short verses of verse 28 down to verse 40, these 12 verses, it tells us as we followed along that he was betrayed by Peter. We saw the prayer in the garden. We saw him singing a hymn as they left the Last Supper. We saw him eating the Last Supper and taking communion. In the 28th verse, he mentions some words that are different to our language and in our cultural background. I like to point out they led Jesus from Caiaphas, and Caiaphas was the surname of the man who married the daughter of Annas, and Annas was the prior chief priest for Israel, most powerful ruler in all of Israel, and his daughter married this man named Caiaphas, and Caiaphas is now the chief priest. And they lead him from the chief priest to the praetorium. Interesting thing was, the roosters just crowed, dawn is breaking, they're doing this all illegally, that a court isn't supposed to be meeting at this hour, and yet the high priest is endorsing this, because he's the same one in another gospel that said, it's told in the scriptures, one should die to save the whole nation, and so we got to get rid of this guy. And he used politics to move the religious people. So the praetorium is an interesting place. It has a couple of definitions. Praetorium could mean the group of people, but it was basically recognized the praetoria was the palace that Herod lived in, and he lived on the coast, if you've never been to Israel, Caesarea, which is a very nice area. The beaches are really great. The Roman aqueduct actually goes through Caesarea, and the engineers built this huge aqueduct to carry water from one end of the nation to the other, all by just little micro inches tilting down with these huge stone archways, and they were able to deliver water through these elevated canals, the aqueducts. And it was in this area that Pilate would have had his home. But the praetorium was the palace that he and the others, rulers and governors of Israel, would come to. And in the praetorium, the judgment hall of his palace would have been the place of the pavement. Now, some of you have been in the place of the pavement, and it's an area that would be very congested if there's a lot of soldiers in there. But it was there that the pole stood up, that the handcuffs were put onto the pole, and the prisoner would be leaning to it to make his lat muscles expand and his back muscles. And it's there that the cat of nine tails would rip like a claw into the back of the prisoner. And it was there on that place of the pavement that the blood would begin pouring like pavers, Mexican pavers, all through this judgment room. But there was a judgment seat. The judgment seat is seen many times in the scriptures. In the book of Acts, several times, Paul was at the judgment seat, but then ultimately the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment of God, where every human being that ever lived will be judged according to all the records kept on their life. And this judgment seat is parallel to a second judgment seat, and it's called in their language the Bema seat. The Bema seat was where the Olympic Games had the judges sitting at the Bema seat. And if you just won a contest of the javelin or the discus or a long distance, you would come up to the Bema seat and the judges would declare you the silver, the gold, the silver, the bronze. And they would give you the wreath, the crown that would go upon your head to show which place you had just won. Now for the believer, God has the judgment seat, the Bema seat, that each one of you will be rewarded for your life in his kingdom here on earth and how you were part of it spiritually. Apart from him, the non-believer goes to the great white throne judgment seat where God sits, and it'll be a very awesome judgment time as he brings people out of their graves and somehow supernaturally puts their bodies back together and then reveals to them after they get to explain their whole life of why they denied him. And the judgment will come, Paul said, according to the gospel that he preaches. And so there is a standard, quite the opposite of our culture. There is no longer a standard. But God has a standard. And though people don't want to live by that standard, they're ultimately going to be judged by the standard that they have denied. So that should make us fear and tremble, that we will be held accountable for every idle word that has come out of our mouth, we're told. So it was in this place, the praetorium, that the governor was awoken very early. Now, for the aristocracy, it was not uncommon that they could talk to the governor at any time, because Rome knew that these were hostile people, rebellious people, but they wanted that land bridge as the Russians want it and the Iranians want it and the Americans want it. It's that little sliver of land that connects where 75% of the world's gold is, Africa, to Asia and Europe. It's called Israel. The whole thing is not about what you think it's about. It's whoever controls that land bridge controls the Dead Sea with a few trillion dollars worth of elements that could carry on space exploration and titanium, magnesium, all the things that are in that sea. And it controls the land bridge to take you back and forth Asia, Europe, and the Middle East, and Africa. The Praetorium was right in the center of the world, really. And the Roman Empire knew that if we control this, all roads lead to Rome, and we will control everything in every continent here. And that's what we see going on in the Middle East right now. And it's very frightening when some people say the first thing I'll do is bring our troops away, because that's going to more than likely draw the battle to our streets. And when they went to the Praetorium, they did something that was unusual here, it says. It says that they did not go, but they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat at the Passover. So now we see this defilement. It was illegal for a Gentile to cross the threshold, for a Jew to cross the threshold of a Gentile's house or his workplace or his business. They were so religious, though they wanted to kill Jesus, when they got right up to the door to walk into the judgment place, into the judgment seat, they stood outside. Now, isn't it interesting that we just saw a story a couple messages ago where John and Peter actually walk in to where Jesus is being interrogated? So they had received some sort of grace they weren't even sure of yet. In fact, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, we're told that there was a Roman centurion whose name was Cornelius, and he was in Caesarea, the same place that Pontius Pilate lived. And down the coast, not too far from Tel Aviv, but down the coast in Jaffa, was a man named Simon who was a tanner. And that was because he lived on the beach and he got real tan all the time. But he lived there, and Peter came to spend the weekend for probably just a little relaxation. And he was up on the roof. And you'll see a lot of buildings and homes where people have roofs that they will sit out and they will relax, they'll eat, they'll meet their friends there. And it was there that the Lord lowered a sheet down from heaven and had all the creepy crawlies and all the things that the book of Leviticus says, these are unclean, don't eat them. And a voice from heaven spoke to Peter, said, take and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. These things are unclean. And it is somewhat of a paradox, isn't it, that somebody could say not so and Lord in the same term? How in the world can he be your Lord? And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's just impossible. But it shows he wasn't a broken man yet. And so he said, Peter, go ahead. God's teaching him about grace, but he's teaching him about what God already sees is going to happen on Monday. He already knows what's going to happen on Monday and who you're going to meet. So he's trying to get him to get in the flow of the Holy Spirit and to just go with him. He said, there are some men downstairs, and they've been sent by Cornelius, a Roman centurion up in Caesarea, and I want you to go with those men. Now, he had already been broken by the sheet, and he says, okay. So he goes with these Gentile soldiers. He goes up the road and goes to Caesarea, and he comes to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius is spoken of in this manner by the angel who God sent. He said, you are a man that's favored of God because your prayers and your tithes, your alms, have risen to heaven as a memorial for you. So if your giving is recognized by God to build a memorial in heaven, then Jesus tells us that, you know, our treasures are in heaven, they're not here on earth. We should really evaluate how we spend our time and away from prayer, because we're not even building a pup tent or an RV up in heaven, maybe. So we have to be really sensitive to that. So Peter comes and he hears that this man is respected by God, and he crosses into the house, and Cornelius falls down and worships him. And Peter says, don't worship me, I'm just a man like you. But it is obvious that the Holy Ghost has spoken and that God is no longer holding us back from the Gentiles. You see, the Gentiles aborted their babies, and they offered their babies to the gods of the Canaanite gods. And this is one of the reasons that God told the Israelites, when you cross over the Jordan, I'll give you the hardest battle of all. You will go against Jericho. These huge, enormous walls will keep you up, but you're going to march around. I'm going to show you that I'll win every battle for you. And you will utterly wipe out these Canaanites. They were actually devil worshippers. They worshiped all sorts of gods and goddesses. One of them was the sex god and perversion. And God said, don't leave a remnant of them. They'd take their babies and they would take them to the idols that would be red hot iron. And they would lay their babies right in the arms and offer those babies as sacrifices up to the devil, actually. And they would abort their babies, and they'd take their babies and they'd put them in earthen jars to the gods of their community and bury them underneath their houses. So the Jew who was told by the law, you cannot be in a cemetery or touch any dead person or you'd be unclean, could not go into a Gentile's house because more than likely there were aborted fetuses in jars underneath that house. And even archaeology today tells us that they have found these things to be true, and they've found, you know, the skeletal remains inside of earthen jars. And so for Peter to step across the threshold of a Gentile, let alone a Roman, and a Roman of such magnitude, a centurion, it was an awesome thing for him to do, but he saw God's grace. And at that moment, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of the people that worked for the soldier and that came to his house for a prayer meeting and that helped support the poor. And they all began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. And Peter realized that God hasn't forbidden that they could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What holds us back from them being baptized? And so Peter learns about God's grace. And God's grace is now coming from Caesarea to Jerusalem through Pontius Pilate, because Pontius Pilate has the authority to say, let Jesus go. But the word of God has already gone out and said, no, he's going to die on a cross. But Pontius Pilate, the man side of him, is trying to wash his hands of this whole thing. While the religious leaders are trying to murder him for their own political gain, they're all missing it. So they're so self-righteous, they say, we cannot go into the judgment hall, but we'll let our dirty work be done by others in that judgment hall. So they're very self-righteous, and their religion has stopped them from seeing the grace of God. In the 29th verse, Pilate said that, what are you guys doing? He went out and said, what are you bringing to me? In those days, you didn't have a defense attorney, nor did you have a prosecuting attorney. The issues were settled by witnesses. And the danger, of course, was that they would pay false witnesses. And the false witnesses would come before the magistrate and say, this is what we heard, this is what we saw. And then all he had to do is enact the law. So he said, what's the accusation? And they answered and said to him, if he were not a malefactor, King James uses the word malefactor. Some of the other translations use malefactors. We would not have delivered him up to you if he weren't this malefactor. Now, it's an interesting thing that Pilate is the guy that's going to answer this accusation. He doesn't want to do it because he knows that there's religion going on, and that's not his realm. His is to keep the peace. Five times this word was used in the Bible, and one time when it spoke of it was malefactor, but the other four translations, it means evildoer. What is it that this guy is being brought to me for? He's an evildoer. Now, the world has one thing to say, but God has another thing to say. This is so the opposite of who Jesus of Nazareth really is. And this is for your good to know this. Because an evildoer would mean that he would do everything bad. He would be a party animal. He'd just be evil. He would take advantage of people. He'd hurt people. Any power he had, he'd use just for himself. And it's such a contrast when the scriptures describe Jesus in another way. For instance, turn to that 10th chapter of Acts I just told you about, where Caesarea is the same focal point, and Pontius Pilate's home is there in this town, and it's where the Holy Ghost fell. But in the 34th verse, when Peter is speaking to this group of Gentiles that now get filled with the Holy Ghost, he brings out something that actually makes the high priest and all of his cadre to be liars and really tells the truth. Look at the 34th verse. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no respecter of persons or partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now look closely. What did he preach? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing, what's the word? Good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He didn't go around doing evil. He was a doer of good. He was a good doer, not an evil doer. And so they lied. And these men have to answer, and they did answer to God. And they will stand before God for what they lied about.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh as he reviews the 18th chapter of John's Gospel on today's edition of Chapter and Verse Radio. Jesus told us, to this end was I born, And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. We pray that you'll hear the truth of God's voice calling out to you, and you'll respond to that call. Plan now to join us here tomorrow when What is Truth will once again be our topic. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. We'll continue our study of John on the next Chapter and Verse broadcast, and we hope that you'll join us at that time. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.